Lynn is going to come and share with us this morning. It's been awesome to see what God has done in her life over the last several years. I can't look her in the eyes. But she and Melinda were the two key that originally just said, hey, we want to start. They were the ones that kind of came to me, hey, can we put some women together and start doing a women's connection, you know? And they were the two that kind of beginning kind of said, hey, we want to get some ladies together and head this up. And then they brought some ladies around them. But her and Melinda were kind of the key to that. And then a nervousness that was involved with that of never being, you know, leading or any of those kind of things. And it's been so awesome to watch her and the team that's developed around her and Melinda and that whole team and just their heart to love women in our church, just to love people in general. And it's been awesome to see how God's just been growing her as a leader, as a woman of God, and how he's used her in many different ways. And I know at the last women's tea, right, is what it was, that the Lord had put on her heart to speak, and she was nervous about that, but the Lord just began to develop those things in her, and out of obedience, she did that. And I love this, because this is kind of what we've talked about as a church, is that the key to anything we do is that we're listening to the Lord, and we're being obedient to what he's called us to do. And that's kind of the story of Lynn coming up here and speaking this morning, is God has been working in her, and even though there's the reluctancy at times, she's been faithful to be obedient and say, okay, God, I will do whatever you ask me to do, even if it means to get up and speak in front of the congregation. And so will you welcome Lynn as she comes to share with us this morning?
Please. The last song we sang could not have been more appropriate today, in that I don't want to be a slave to fear because I am a child of God. But I'm still nervous, okay? you know, I was going to start with you, or kind of wondering why Darren asked me to be here today, and I'm kind of wondering the same thing right now. I did tell him he couldn't sit up front, but look where he is. you know, we've been studying Acts all through this last year, and we, you know, have heard a lot about what God continuously calls us to do, which is why I'm up here today, and I want to share with you my own lessons in obedience. Sheila spoke a few months ago about how it takes all of us being different, you know, parts of the body that make up our church and help us to do things like our Bible studies and to give, you know, to come together and make those things happen. You know, a few weeks ago, Arnie and Lynn Swam spoke, and they talked to us and encouraged us about just taking time to reflect with God about what he wants us to do to serve him. I do believe that God put each of us here for a reason. He gave us each a gift or gifts, and he calls on us to share his word and bring others to him. If you're like me, there are times when you feel you're being able to call to do something, and it takes you so far out of your comfort zone that you feel you've been placed into in the middle of a country that doesn't speak your language and no one understands you. Today I'm going to share with you my story in answering when God called, and I hope that it will encourage someone else who is unsure or afraid that you will answer his call as well. And I'm going to start by how I got here. I became a Christian at an early age. I was baptized when I was 10. My parents were not what I would call active churchgoers. They were what I called holiday churchgoers. We went on Easter and we went on Christmas. I came from one side of my family being Church of Christ and the other being Southern Baptist, and they did not agree with each other's theology, which made it really difficult when our families got together. So I guess my parents just decided not to participate in either. But they did teach us to believe. They did encourage us to attend church. My earliest memories of going to church with outside my family was getting on a local bus that came around, and I was ready every Sunday morning, and I went. I prayed as a child. But I think I prayed as things like most children pray for. I prayed for the new bike at Christmas or a new Barbie doll on my birthday. There were several years that my mom seemed to always to make my dentist appointments on my birthday. I don't know why she did that. I think she had a sick sense of humor. and I remember praying she wouldn't do that again this year. But when I was 14, my mother passed away unexpectedly. It was a really blow to my family. You never think you're going to lose your mother. This initially, for the first couple years after that, drew me closer to God. I was really blessed that I was attending a church that had a great youth program, and the youth pastors were just, they were amazing. And fortunately, they even lived in my neighborhood. They lived on the street behind me, so I could walk to their house and I could go in, and Dee and Leon would pray with me. But as I got older and into high school, I did not always make the best choices when it came to friends or boyfriends, and I made some really bad decisions, and God would, you know, pull me back in, and I would stray, and He'd pull me back in, and this went on for many, many years. Then I met Kevin, and Kevin and I got married, and we moved to Missouri, and we found a church there that we absolutely loved. We felt connected. We were involved with our church. It was a church plant. We met at a school, so on Sunday mornings, you know, Kevin would get up early with our kids, and they would go, and they had to set up everything from the chairs to the stage to the musical instruments and everything. I served in the nursery, so we had to set up a nursery in the hallway with rugs and toys. And, you know, our life was good. Work was going well. Financially, spiritually, we felt we were in a good place, and we were content. God had other plans for us. In December of 2011, we were transferred back to Oregon. Now, Kevin is an original Oregonian. I am not. I'd actually said at one time that I would never live here. It was too cold and too wet. But it was always a dream of his to come back here. Back to his roots. When we first came back, we started searching for a new church home. We tried many, many churches here in Dallas and just never quite felt the connection, never felt like this is where we belonged. We even ventured out and we started visited West Salem Foursquare a few times. And the last time we were there was actually the day of the send-off for Darren and Stacy, and that they were starting the church here in Dallas. This was the first time that I felt that God spoke directly to me. And I told my husband as we were driving back to Dallas, I said, that's where we're supposed to be going to church. Kevin was not quite as convinced as I was. He had this mental picture that it was going to be, you know, maybe a dozen people sitting around in a room on Sunday mornings. And he said, I like small churches, but that's a little too small for me. So we kept trying and kept looking for churches, and then we stopped trying. And this went on for several months. It didn't take long for us to feel the absence of God in our life. We felt it financially. We felt it in our relationship as a family. Things started falling apart in our professional life as well. So we did decide to resume our search, and we, to be honest, weren't really excited. We even went back and tried a few other churches again. Maybe it was just that day that things were off or whatever it was. And so I decided to tell Kevin we were going to try Dallas Foursquare. I love. Yeah, I voluntold you. and we did. And again, that was the second time I felt truly convicted. When we left church, I told Kevin, this is where we're supposed to be. And he just kind of looked at me and he goes, maybe. And so, you know, the next, as the week rolled on, and I said, we're going back to Dallas Foursquare this Sunday, right? And he goes, I don't know. I said, well, you pick a church we're going to try. And he goes, okay. And Saturday night rolls around, and I said, where are we going to church tomorrow? He goes, I don't know. I said, we're going to Dallas Foursquare. And we've been here ever since. It did not take us long to start feeling connection. There's some amazing people here. You know, Bob and Karen were the first people that just welcomed us and made us feel like family. Kevin still talks about Bob and how much it meant to him. We're showing up every morning and every Sunday morning, and then I feel God to start pressing me to be more involved. And so I'm like, okay, well, you know, I like holding babies. I'll volunteer for the nursery again. You know, I kind of get my grandma fixed, because believe me, my kids are not ready to have kids. So I said, I'll just get my fix on Sunday mornings. And I did that, and then I felt God telling me, that's great, Lynn, but I want you to do more. And I'm like, what do you want me to do? And he goes, well, your church doesn't have an active women's ministry. I want you to get more involved in that. And I'm like, well, you know, if they have a Bible study or if they have a women's, you know, retreat or something, I'll go. And he goes, no, you need to be more involved in that. So I talked to Darren and Stacy, and they encouraged me to get with Melinda because she had the same heart, and so I did. And and then some other ladies come alongside us, Amber and Abby, and we started Women's Connection, and since then it has just grown. I am overwhelmed and amazed at what God does through all of us and the connections He has brought in our Bible studies. And I know this is all because I said yes when He told me to do it. But behind the scenes, there were things going on in my life where the enemy was trying to prevent me from doing the things that I needed to do. My health was not at its greatest. It took almost 2 years for them to find out that I had issues with my gallbladder. During that time, I lost my baby sister unexpectedly. This really rocked my world. She had, a month before her passing, she had had heart surgery to have a mechanical valve placed. And heart issues in my family are a real, I guess, threat. My mother, when she passed away, it was because of heart disease. And the day of her surgery, she called me, and she was crying, and she said, I'm scared. I don't want to die. And I reassured her, and I talked with her, and I prayed with her, and I said, you're going to be just fine. Things aren't like they were when Mom passed away. Technology is so much better than it was then, and you're gonna be just fine. And her surgery did go well. She was fine. She was recuperating nicely, but unfortunately, because of the blood thinner she was on, her blood got too thin and caused a hematoma in her brain. I struggled for a long time. My daughter would tell you that I was a wreck. I would function fine during the day, but I would get home and something just simple as standing in my kitchen cooking dinner, and I would just lose control. My problem wasn't that I didn't trust in God to know what He was doing. My problem was this: I didn't understand why He chose her. You see, she was afraid. She felt like she wasn't done here yet. But I was okay if God told me tomorrow, I'm calling you home because I know what waits me. And I worried about her and myself. I still have questions about why, and I know He'll answer them someday. My job wasn't going so well. At the same time, all of this was going on. My workload was just tremendous. I was working 11, 12-hour days. I was stressed, and I was concerned. I was not performing the way I knew I could perform at work. I was dropping balls. I was making mistakes. And I didn't think I had the support of my superiors either. I would actually wake up in the middle of the night with what I call mini panic attacks, and I couldn't breathe, and my heart would be racing. And it's funny, though, it's not like when you wake up from a nightmare, because there was no previous thought about what caused me to wake up, but the words that would come to my mind were a Matt Maher song. And it was, "Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. God, how I need you." And this song became my daily prayer. I would listen to it sometimes several times a day and close my eyes and pray. And along with that, I was pleading with God to change my situation at work. But any of you that know me also know that I can sometimes have control issues. So I knew exactly how he needed to change that. And I was telling him exactly what he needed to do to change that situation. So I would pray or demand and wait. After a few months, my work situation did change. My position changed at work, but it didn't change. It was in a way that I thought was how it should have changed. And I thought God must not have really been listening to me as closely as he should have. And I dealt with anger and bitterness, and I was miserable. And I took that out on my family, and it had an impact on my marriage because of the way I spoke to my children and to my husband. I continued to pray and try to understand, and I have to kind of share this with you. At night, always believe that you should give thanks before you fall asleep every night, and I really, really do try, and most of the time, though, I do, I fall asleep in the middle of it, and I'll wake up a couple hours later and go, "Oh, wait, I didn't finish. So one of the things I did, because I do believe prayer is important, is that I started praying on my way to work in the mornings, because I work in Salem, so I have a 20-minute drive, and I would pray on my 20 minutes back. And I'd also have usually K-Love on, and I'm worshiping too, so if you pass me, you will probably see me with my hands in the air. And I do try to keep one hand on the steering wheel. but not always. I have been guilty of getting really into it, you know. but during this time, I spent a lot of time arguing with God and demanding to know why he didn't answer me. And so one of my times in the morning demanding in my morning rants with God, and he said that, he did answer my prayer. I thought, no, you didn't, because I'm not supposed to be here any longer. I was supposed to have moved on. Why am I still here? And he said, I did. He said, "Think about it, Lynn." He goes, "When's the last time you had to work 12 hours in a day?" He said, "When's the last time that when you left work you were so stressed out that you cried all the way home?" He said, "When's the last time you left work and there was still a pile of work on your desk that didn't get completed?" And I realized then that he did answer my prayer, and he did provide a solution. It just wasn't what I told him he needed to do. But he also told me, "I have other plans for you. You just need to be patient." Again, control and patience. Yeah, those. It wasn't long after that that we did hold our first tea, women's tea here. And it was a great success. A lot of women came together, and it was wonderful. And we couldn't wait till we started planning our next one. And we had even decided on a theme. It was going to be hats and boas and just have fun with it. And then, so a few days later, I start getting all these random thoughts on my drives to work in the middle of the night and on my drives home. And it was about hats. And I couldn't understand why I was thinking about hats. Now, if he had been talking to me about shoes, we all know that I'd have been right there. But I was not. He started talking to me about earthly hats and spiritual hats. And that's when it hit me that was what I was supposed to talk about at the next tea. I wasn't really happy about that at all, because believe it or not, even 2 years ago, if you told me I was standing up here talking, I would have told you that you had mistaken me for someone else, that you were just out of your mind. So I decided to call my friend Melinda, and we go to coffee, and I tell her what's on my heart, and I'm thinking, Melinda will talk me out of this. Melinda knows me, and she will tell me, Lynn, I think it's a great idea, but you're not a public speaker, so maybe we'll find somebody else to talk. But she didn't. She just smiled at me, and she said, who am I to tell you not to do what God's pressing on you to do? So we had the tea, and I spoke about the hats, and I don't know why I stressed over it so much, because I was just a mouthpiece. I was there to do what God told me to do. He had the words, not me. And that was one of my first hard lessons in being obedient. And now I just know He was preparing me for more. So today, where I am, is I obviously survived speaking at the tea last January. No one booed me. No one made any snide remarks. No one said, don't ever do that again. I think I did okay. God is using me, along with some other amazing godly women, to coordinate and lead community-wide Bible studies. And as Darren says, they just keep growing and growing. I was asked and invited to be on the board of directors for the Mid-Valley Women of Christ. I don't know why God has chosen me to do these things. I can't answer that. I can't quote Bible verses or scripture or even parables and stories that will relate to whatever you're going through, but I can pray for you and I can be there for you. God has awakened in me an overwhelming desire to be active in women's ministry. I don't know what that's going to hold for me in the days to come. Kevin and I had a conversation a while back, and he asked me, he said, how do you know that God is this is when God's speaking to you? And I said, I just know. It's like there's just this feeling of certainty inside me that it's what I'm supposed to do. There's no doubt. There's fear. There is being scared. It's unnerving at times, but there's no doubt that that's what I'm supposed to do. Do you remember what it was like when you first accepted God into your life and how you were just overflowing with love and gratitude that He forgave us of our sins and that we have an everlasting life? You just can't stop smiling and you want the whole world to know and to experience what you're experiencing. And that's how I feel right now in the season in my life. As far as what's next for me, I really don't know the answer to that. I don't know if what I'm sharing will reach anyone here today or not, but I do know that we each have a task God's assigned to us to do, and He seems to be preparing me for the next one. The examples I have of this are in the Bible studies that we've been doing through our women's ministry. The first one was on the book of Hosea and about how we are worthy and we are loved unconditionally by God. Then we studied Ephesians and learned about the armor of God and how we have all the tools we need to fight the enemy. And let me tell you, he will attack you when you're trying to be obedient, and he will attack you hard. This wasn't part of my notes, but it's a good example of how he attacks you. On Friday, I was getting out of my car at work. Now, of course, I had on really pretty shoes with nice wedge heels, and I stepped on some loose rocks, and I twisted my ankle, and I fell. So over the weekend, I've had some problems with my ankle swelling and hurting. And this morning, I was trying to decide, do I wrap my foot or do I leave it unwrapped? Do I go? Because I have complete faith that God will heal my ankle, and that I knew that I would be able to stand here today. But the reason I chose not to wrap it was because I wanted to show the enemy that I have my faith in God. Our next study is going to be on 2 Timothy. It's called Entrusted. And it's going to be about going out and mentoring and bringing others to Christ. My verse for today is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and this is from the Message. But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do His work and speak out for Him, to tell others of the night and day difference He made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. Now, my notes go back several months that I started working on this, because I learned from when I had to speak at the tea that when God starts pressing things on me, I need to write them down, and then I'll figure out later what He wants me to use them for. And in writing, when I'm writing all these down, I received a text from a friend of mine who knows what it's like to be obedient and to step out in faith when it's not comfortable to do so. And she had no idea what I was going through or what I was working on, but I'd been praying about what to do with it, or if I was supposed to do anything with it at all. And her text read, "In order for us to fearlessly embrace the future, we must courageously face today." I printed that out, and it's on my mirror, and I read it every morning when I wake up. I don't know why God chose me so late in my life to be a voice. I just know that He has, and I know there's a fire burning inside of me to be His disciple. I will try my best to be obedient when He calls me. My hope, my prayer is that whoever I am called to share this message with is inspired to use His gift or gifts that God has given them to extend His kingdom.
Well, I hope in hearing just her testimony, her story of what God's been doing in her life, I just hope that it encourages you in this desire to walk in obedience. Because that's really what it's all about. It's about us listening to the Lord, allowing Him to speak into our lives, and then being willing to do it, right? You know, there's a lot of us that hear it, but it's another thing to actually then walk it out, to be obedient to what He says, to not just hear it, but to live it and to do those things. And so my hope is that you were encouraged by that. But I want to say this. In order for us to walk in obedience, we have to be listening to the Lord. We have to hear His voice. Because if we're not hearing His voice, then what are we going to be obedient to? And it comes back to kind of what I was talking about this morning in the midst of our worship, and what the Lord even challenging me in those spending time in the presence of the Lord, being with the Lord and being attentive to His still small voice. And that's the thing, you know, I get so many people, "Darren, you talk about hearing the Lord. What is that like?" And I want to say this, because my view, when I sat out there as a young, you know, person with a heart for ministry, and I listened to these pastors up here, especially guys like Ron Mell and these amazing leaders that impacted my life, and I would hear them say little things, you know, about, "Oh, the Lord gave me this vision. They gave me this picture. Gave me this, you know, put this on my heart." And I would just have this thought that, "Oh man, I want that," right? And here's what I envisioned. I envisioned that, you know, they're praying and all of a sudden they close their eyes and it's like this beautiful painting in front of them that God just perfectly draws out this picture, right? And that's what I thought. I'm like, "I want to have pictures. I want to hear the Lord like that," you know, or that the Lord just spoke right into their ear and they heard it. And I can tell you this, you've heard me say those same phrases, and it hasn't happened the way I viewed it when I sat there, okay? When I say God gives me this picture, really what happens is the Lord puts something on my heart, and then I begin to kind of see this picture for, and it's not even, I can't even close my eyes and paint a picture. It's just this sense of what God is doing. And I think sometimes we think, "Man, I don't hear God like Pastor Darren hears God. I don't hear God like, you know, such and such or this or that." But we can, and it's just allowing God to speak into our lives. And those still small voice, right? And here's the thing, I'll tell you, if there's something that you're being asked to do that you don't want to do, that's above and beyond you. And not like, I don't want to do that because it's sinful, okay? That's the devil, all right? We'll just say that, all right? But those things, you know, like where the Lord is saying to do something, and you're like, ah, no, that's not me. It's probably the Lord. It's probably the Lord speaking into you saying, I've called you. Because as Lynn mentioned, you know, and this whole thing, we're the body. And God has a plan for each of us to use us in different ways to impact people, you know. And even just those texts that we receive, right? The Lord speaking on the other end of that. Hey, send an encouraging word to Lynn. Or hey, you know your buddy so-and-so or your friend so-and-so. Send them a little word of encouragement. And how the Lord uses those to speak to people as well too. And so it's listening to the Lord so that we can walk in that obedience that He has for us. Amen. Amen. Let me just finish here in prayer. Hey, Michael, you want to just come up and just finish us with a song here real quick as we wrap up. Lord, I just thank You for Your hand upon our lives. Thank You for Lord Lynn, and thank You for just her honesty and vulnerability to come up here and to share. Lord, to share the struggles that she's gone through, to share the fears of getting up, the fears of walking in obedience, Lord. I thank You for her heart to share these things because it encourages us and helps us know we're not alone, Lord. As we struggle with those things ourselves, as we face those fears and those challenges ourselves, we realize that, Lord, we're not the only one. That Lord, we all go through those at times, and we all go through those seasons. But the key is that regardless of the challenges and struggles that we face, that we continue to do our best. And that's the key, that we just do our best to walk in obedience to You, Lord. That we do our best to live out the life that You've called us to live, Lord. To be used by You. And that's what it's about, Lord. You want to use each of us in different ways. And we need to open up our ears and to listen and to walk in that obedience so that we can make a difference, Lord, in the lives around us. So, Lord, we just thank You for these things. I pray today, Lord, number one, that You allow us to hear Your voice. Those things that You're speaking, Lord, help us to take time to just quiet ourselves. Sometimes, Lord, we fail to hear You because we're so caught up in the busyness. We don't take time just to be in Your presence. We don't take time to allow You to speak into our lives. And so, Lord, we just pray that you help us to take those times to hear Your voice. And when we hear Your voice, Lord, regardless of how scary it may be, we pray that You help us to walk in obedience, Lord, to live out those things that You call us to do. We thank You for these things, Lord. Thank You for this word. May it speak to each of us where we're at, Lord. Those little things, may we be encouraged, Lord. Whatever it is that we needed today, may we draw that little nugget of wisdom, that little nugget of encouragement, whatever it may be. May You speak to each of us where we're at, Lord. We just thank You and we praise You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.